Good evening to each one here, and I want to say, first of all, thank you for your prayers. I did feel them, and actually, this afternoon, I looked at my wife, and I said, I have too much stuff. Maybe I'll pray a little too much, but I am thankful this evening that God has given me a message, and I hope that you can gain something from it. For a text this evening, you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm going to read from verse 23 to 29. This is what we read at every communion, and I was going to take my title out of this. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Tonight I want to take the title out of verse 28. I've used one word different than what's in the verse. The title I've had for this evening's message is Examine Myself. Paul said here that they were to examine themselves. So I have several points. Point number one, first of all, what does examine mean? If you look this up in the Greek word, it's translated from the means to test and to try. The Webster Dictionary has these meanings: to inspect closely, to test the condition of, to inquire carefully. And I thought about how we know what examine is. We examine things. If you're a lady, you probably examine maybe coverings. You look and you scrutinize how they fit, what they look like. Maybe just recently we had to purchase a new dryer, and they said when you get it home, take it out of the box and examine it. See what it looks like. Make sure there's no dings, dents, because that could have happened during shipment. Make sure you check it out. I recently bought a vehicle, and when I roll into a used car lot and see a vehicle that looks nice on the outside, I personally don't just buy it. I need to examine it. I want to lift the hood and look for whatever could be wrong. And I know Lamar would look for many more things than I look for, but I at least lift the hood because it makes me feel good. If there's no oil dripping, I get inside, I turn the dome lights on, I turn the AC on, I turn the heat on, and I say, I want to take it for a drive. I want to examine this thing. I'm going to drive it down the road. I'm going to make sure it runs good and make sure that there isn't some odd ding or in the, something slipping in the transmission or something knocking in the engine. We examine things. If you're going to buy a house, you examine it. You don't just look at the outside. You go inside and you examine. You see, you make sure that the sink didn't run over. Unless you're buying a fixer-upper, there is always that. If you want to buy a fixer-upper, then it doesn't really matter what it's in. But let's say you're looking for a house. You just want to move in. You're going to check it out. You might even have to get Curtis as a home inspector to go in and check it out. See what's in there. Make sure that the floors aren't rotted out. Make sure the doors still work. Make sure the lights all work. And I remember when I bought my last house in Greencastle that I bought it at an auction and spoke for it at an auction. Then I had to have a home inspection. It was kind of disheartening to follow the home inspector through the house when he said, did you know this? This doesn't work. This is bad. This is rotten. And I'm thinking, well, I already spoke for this thing. It's nice to know that up front before you buy. So we generally examine things. We know what this means, to look closely at something, to test the condition of, to investigate. Brings me to the second point of the message. Who or what am I to examine? When I thought about this, I thought about that, you know, it's always easier to examine something that's not ours. Even other people, you know, that's something that we're all pretty good at. You look at somebody. Tonight when I stand here, I can see each one of you. And when I examine you, I see something. And I base what I think's on the inside by what I see on the outside, but I really don't know. Likewise, you, when you look at me, you see me, you hear what I say, and you begin to form opinions. You begin to base what I look like and what I talk like as to what I believe. But as I mentioned before, without knowing for sure, you don't know if there's a me looking on and you looking on, don't know if there's a knock in the engine, if there's some slippage in the transmission, we don't know. And that's the reason Paul says this in verse 28, that let a man examine himself. It's easier for us to look out there and look at everyone else and try to decide where they're at. But Paul says in order to be ready for communion, we need to examine ourselves. He says this again in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Jesus taught the same thing in Matthew chapter 7, whenever he was talking about judging a brother. He said, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. We must look in tonight. And I don't believe this is a once and done thing that I check and make sure there's no beams, and then I'm good to go. But it's a continuation. We need to continually look inward and say, Lord, is there anything in my life that needs taken care of? It's always easier. It's always easier, as I said before, to look at something somebody else has. It's not hard to tell the used car salesman that's trying to sell you the vehicle that, did you see this ding over here? Did you notice there's some oil dripping? Maybe it's the house. Did you notice all the windows, when you push them up, they just fall right back down? It takes a stick to hold them up. That was an experience we had. It's easy to point that stuff out because it belongs to somebody else. But whenever we start to look inward, it becomes harder. And it's harder to say, when I'm selling my things, that, you know what? That truck, I'm sure you probably didn't see it, but over here on this side, I put a ding in it. Or the house, it's a good house, but when you buy it at a certain time of the year, it'll just steam up inside, and you need a big dehumidifier or something to take care of the problem. That's the way it is that's the way I feel when I try to tell people about my possessions. But you know, it's even harder for me to say about what's inside. But that's what's important. Point number three, why must I examine myself? Letter A, it's because I know better what's going on in my life more than anyone else. You know, and I know, the things that we own, the things that are closest to us, is things we know the best. And we know in our hearts what is going on. We know more than anyone else what's going on, but eventually that'll come out in fruits. And this is the reason we must examine ourselves. We need to take a close look at what is going on inside our hearts and make sure it is in tune with God's commands. We have these verses, which I'm going to read. You can just listen as I read them. We have these verses which can show us that what people profess and who they can be and who they are can be different individuals. For instance, in Matthew 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Something that they're seeing on the outside, but inside is different. Verse 16 follows that and says, ye shall know them by their fruits. However, sometimes it takes time. It takes a while for the fruits to truly be seen. Further down in Matthew chapter 7, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It's what's inside. Examining ourselves and seeing if what's inside is the same as what we're seeing. Tonight, we're going to give a testimony to this congregation. I trust you're prepared to give a testimony to this congregation. I'm going to give a testimony of what my relationship with God is. And only God and I know whether it is truly, really true. Only God knows and I know whether my devotional life is what it should be. Only God knows and I know whether when I read and study my Bible, whether my thoughts tend to go elsewhere or whether I can concentrate and grow in my personal life. Only God knows and I know whether I'm having victory in my thought life. Only God knows and I know where all I've been in the past 6 months, whether in person or virtually. Only God knows and I know exactly what or whom I'm worshiping or putting my energy into or who's getting the glory from it. Only God knows and I know what or who I truly love. That's the reason we need to examine ourselves, because we know and God knows. This evening, if I stand and say that I have peace with my fellow men, I don't think there's anyone here that could rightfully dispute what I say unless you know there's a rivalry between us. But deep in my heart, I know and God knows whether that's true and whether I do love everyone here and whether there's someone here that I would just prefer not to wash feet with. You see, Paul says we need to examine ourselves. When we stand and tell the congregation that we love the church and that we believe that the guidelines are to help us in our spiritual victory in life, God knows and I know whether that's truly what I believe in my heart and whether that's truly the way I feel. You see, I need to examine myself. When I say I desire to be in communion, God knows and I know whether I am worthy. That is why we examine ourselves. Perhaps this evening you say, well, I'm not exactly sure where I'm at. And I'm not here this evening to make you feel guilty, to make you feel something that's not true, because I believe in the simple statements in James 4, verse 8, and that is, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know to do good and you're not doing it, then you're in sin. But if you know in your heart that you want to do what's right and you're doing what's right, then we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to worry about it. I thought of the account, and I wasn't sure I was going to bring this in, but I thought of the account of, in Acts, of Ananias and Sapphira, when I was thinking about this thing of searching our hearts and making sure we say what's really in there, and how that these people said, Ananias and Sapphira told Peter there that this was all the money. And Peter told him that you have not lied unto me, but you've lied unto God. And I thought about that's the way it is. You know, when somebody tells us something, we take it, at least I take it as truth. We have to take it as truth, unless we have reason to believe that it's not true. If my son tells me he did not eat his candy, I know he had a whole stash in his room and it's all gone. I know he lied, so he told me a lie. But if I don't know that he lied, then the lie is only to one person, and that's God. Because to me it is truth. And that's the reason Peter wrote there, I believe was written there. He says, thou hast not lied unto me, but unto God. Tonight we need to search our own hearts, because that's what matters, is how we are to God. Letter B, under the same point, why must I examine myself? So that I don't eat and drink unworthily. We see that in verse 27 and verse 29. Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. When we gather to commemorate Jesus' suffering and death, we remember who he is. And who is this Jesus? And I thought of all the names, and I didn't write them all down, I'm sure, but I just thought of different names that's recorded in the Bible of who Jesus is. This is what Peter told the people in Acts after he had healed the lame man in the name of Jesus. And a lot of people gathered around marveling that such a thing had happened. And he said, but ye denied the Holy One. That's who Jesus is, the Holy One and the Just. And you have killed the Prince of Life. Jesus is also sinless. We have in Hebrews 4, verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus is sinless. In Isaiah, we have the names of this child that was going to be born, the Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is our Redeemer, that he might redeem unto us all iniquity from us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. This is who Jesus is, our Redeemer. And we must examine ourselves. Romans 5 verse 8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if we're going to eat and drink of the cup and remember the suffering and death of Jesus, we need to examine ourselves and make sure that we are worthy to do that with an almighty Father, with Christ. I recently read in my devotions from Revelation chapter 1, and I was reading about the Son of Man that was clothed with a garment down to his foot, girt about the paps with a golden kirtle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun, shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, John wrote, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. This is who Jesus is. He's holy. He's righteous. How can we come together and partake of the emblems of the body and blood of Jesus if we're living in sin? We cannot. We cannot. Point number three, what am I examining myself for? And you can turn in your Bibles to 1 John. I'm going to read a number of scriptures from 1 John. I'm sure we could turn to other things, other places in red. And I'm sure I don't have the complete list here, but I have several things that we can examine ourselves for. Letter A is, am I walking in the light? Turn to 1 John chapter 2. First John 2, verse 9. Am I walking in the light? This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have the fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I'm sorry, I think that was 1 John 1, 5 to 10. I had the wrong thing written down there. Now we're going to go to 1 John 2, verses 9 to 11. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Am I walking in the light? This is easy stuff to understand. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we are not in the light. But we can be in the light if we have allowed the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from all sin. Letter B, do I truly know Jesus? 1 John 2, verses 3 to 6. And hereby we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Do you know Jesus tonight? Do I know Jesus? This is how we can tell if we keep his commandments. His word is full of them. Are we keeping them? Letter C, do I love the world? We can go on down to 1 John 2, verses 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Do I love the world this evening? We're examining myself. Do I love my brothers and sisters? I could go back and we could reread what we read there in 1 John 2, verses 9 to 11 about liking and hating your brother. But we can go down on down and read 1 John. I'd like to just turn to 1 John 4, verses 7 to 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that God loved us, but not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And on down, verses 20 to 21. If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Tonight, do you love your brothers and sisters? If we love God, if we don't love our brothers and sisters, we can't love God. These verses are very clear, very easy to understand. Letter E. Am I in harmony with the brotherhood? Paul writes to the Philippians in Philippians 2, verse 1, that if there is anyone that receives encouragement from being united with Christ and receive comfort from his love, then we have responsibility. Philippians 2, 2 and 3 says this, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. This, I believe, is harmonious brotherhood relationships. This is what church should be like. That we have the same love, we be of one accord, of one mind. Not trying to lift ourselves up, but in lowliness serving others. Paul also tells the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1, 9, 10, and 11, God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Paul is saying inside of a body there should be, it should fit together, jointly fit together. And there shouldn't be divisions. Are you in harmony tonight? We could go on to 1 Corinthians 12, where it talks about the diversity of gifts and how that God has made a body. And we know how the body works. And if something would come flying at my head tonight, I would duck and get out of the road. Maybe put your hands up, shut your eyes, and think about how many body parts would be affected by an object flying into your face. You would duck, you would shut your eyes, you would probably put your hands over, you would bend your back, your knees would buckle. There's many joints and they all work together to avoid that blow. And if it does still hit, it hurts and the whole body hurts. And I'm sure if you've lived very long that you've ran into something, whacked something on your shin or hit your head on something, it just makes you hurt all over. That's the way God has designed the body. And God's desire for the church is the same way. Am I looking for ways to strengthen the church? Am I looking for ways to make the church grow stronger? Do I do all I can as part of the body to help avoid the darts of the enemy? And when somebody is hit, do I feel the pain as well? Am I in harmony with the brotherhood? Point number 4, and the last point. What do we do if we've examined ourselves and we realize that we are not worthy? And when I wrote this down, the first thing I thought was, and that is when I looked at how holy Jesus is and said, how can I even be worthy? How can we be worthy to commemorate the suffering and death of Christ? And well, it's only by the grace of God and the atoning blood of Jesus. And sometimes we maybe have to try to decide in our minds what our relationship with God is, what our relationship with our fellow brethren is, what our relationship with the church is. And maybe we have to wonder, is it where it should be? And I thought of the words of David that was written many years ago. And he prayed to God, and we have the same God today. And I thought of his words and says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." If you truly want to know tonight how God sees your hearts, he shows us. That's what his Holy Spirit does. And it reads that what's what our conscience does. God sees it and he wants us to see it. We don't need to agonize over every little detail in the last 6 months and try to decide where we're at. If the Holy Spirit has prompted us and we know there's things that weren't right, that aren't right, we need to deal with them. We need to clean them up. James 5 verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed." 1 John 1, 9 says, we have this promise. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Jesus taught in his Sermon on the Mount, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." If this evening you realize there's some things need taken care of, before you can partake in communion, take care of them. There's time, there's opportunity. When we gather on Sunday morning, may we gather to show or proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. May God bless each this evening.